Let's start, though, Febsy, with our gadget of the week. I've got an iPhone, and this is something that could be quite fun, actually.
Yeah, so one of the big areas of interest for sort of Apple users is the creation of music. And in fact, on iPhones and iPads, there's grown up a whole industry of synthesizers and recording studios all on this mobile device. And a lot of them are very professional. They're used by professionals and they're great. Now, this is an app that costs £5. It's called, well, I suppose it's called Kraft. It's K-R-F-T, no vowels. And it's described as a modular music production app. And what I liked about it was that it enables you to create and experiment with music on it without being able to play any sort of keyboard or musical instrument. You need no training. So it provides you with a canvas on the screen, and you put shapes on the screen, and each of those shapes behaves in a different way. So some of them are loops, some of them are rolls, some of them are sample blasts and so forth. And you just create these shapes and you move your fingers across it and it plays. And I'll just give you let me just see if I can fire up and give you, I'm going to give you an example.
Move over Lennon McCartney, here
well,
we go.
I don't know about that, but let's see if we can get this going. Here we go. There we go. That's just a sample. That's not me, by the way.
But it reminds me of when we were in that nightclub in Brighton on Saturday night, Febsy. You and I were dancing to those grooves, weren't we?
We were. And people didn't talk at all. Okay, so it's quite, as I say, it's interesting because there are all these professional apps, and actually that's one of the reasons I use Apple Gear, because I love synths and tech and stuff like that, and I used to buy all the old classic synths, but nowadays you can run for as in this case a fiver, something that if you were to try and build it in hardware, well, first of all, you couldn't build this in hardware because it's so flexible, but if you did, it would be, you know, probably not hundreds but thousands of pounds, and yet you can do this. And what I liked about it is that, you know, the number of people that were drawn to it, different age groups and just completely different types of people. Some people found it very addictive, like a video game almost, you know, on a machine. But instead, you're actually doing something creative, and you can save it and you do it as a live performance and then edit it and perfect it and share it. You can share your canvas designs with other people as well. So it's kind of got that community aspect to it. £4.99. Four stars out of five, beg your pardon, bargain.
Yeah, and again, I sound like such an old man, whereas you do this for a living. But I'm always amazed by what you can do on a relatively small, quite simple device like an iPhone or an iPad. Easy enough to get your head around, and you could be creating music. And interesting as well that you say, you know, there are many professionals out there who are turning to devices like this to create the stuff that makes the money.
Well, first of all, because they're very portable, but also because they're instant. And if you're a creative, you don't want to be booting up a computer to do something creative. You want something that you've got on you all the time. Just like the convenience of having a camera on you all the time when you have a smartphone. If you're a creative person, having that sort of scratch pad areas where you can actually start experimenting with music whilst you're waiting for your bus or whatever, you know, that's quite a special thing. And it makes, just like many more people are taking photos than ever used to, many more people are starting to create their own music. But doesn't mean we have to have, you know, years of piano classes behind us. It's just that sometimes we know what sounds good and that's clever, and we try that, and what happens if we do this, and suddenly you've got something creative. And I hesitate to say particularly for young people and kids and teenagers, because it's actually for everybody, but also for that group. It's a great thing, and I expect to see this app and apps like this in schools in the future as well, because I think it's affordable and it's going to grab people's attention and stimulate their imaginations as well.
Great stuff. Febsy is here. He is our gadget detective. If you've got a question for Febsy this afternoon, 03459 570057, whatever the gadget is, if it's not doing what you'd hope it would be, or maybe you want to explore new possibilities with said gadget, then get in touch. 03459 570057. Keith in Wharton on Thames has done just that. Afternoon to you, Keith.
Good afternoon, MC. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to speak to you, sir. And you've got a tablet that isn't doing what it should be.
Well, I had one. My mum had a tablet for her 70th birthday, and then she bought me one, and I was having a nightmare with it. I ended up doing some damage to it. So I've got another one. And I've been trying to create Excel files. I've got an external little chip hot drive thing. Sorry, good afternoon, Fevzy, by the
Hello.
Way. Too, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm listening intently. Go ahead.
Well, if I do save, I've just created a blank Excel spreadsheet, and I try and do save as to save it onto this external little chip, which I can mount this chip with a caddy on my laptop. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So I'm trying to save this. Save as, it says app needs permission. Allow this app, that's Excel presumably, allow this app to edit files on the SD card.
Yep.
If I click allow, it says tap the SD card, then without tapping a folder, tap the select command after something, and it all disappears.
Okay, so it's obviously having a problem. That particular app on your desktop is having a problem accessing the file on the memory card. So what I suggest you do is to work around it is to actually transfer the file from the card onto the computer itself and put it somewhere on the desktop, for example, where it's in plain view.
Yeah.
And then you can do it two ways. Then you can either open up Excel and then navigate to the desktop and open it from there. Or you can right click on the icon of the file on your desktop and say open, and it should give you an option of open with, even so you can have a choice of programs that might be able to open it.
Yeah.
Also, if your particular Excel is having a problem with that particular file, bear in mind that on PCs there are free versions of Office software. Liberty software, Liberty Office, for example, that are file compatible. So again, a workaround, if your Excel for whatever reason isn't opening that file, download one of the free Office suites and try that to see if it's less fussy.
I understand the transferring across to the laptop because I've done that, and mm-hmm. I can. But it's a real pain having to use the caddy and moving stuff across. I want to be able to create. Well, if I've got the tablet at work, I'm starting to use it at work, and it's mm-hmm. quite useful now. But I can't actually create on the tablet. It's not actually Excel. It's it is sort of pseudo Excel that you can download for free on the tablet.
Yep.
So I'm creating the files on there.
Yes.
A blank file, and if I'm trying to create one and just put some numbers, I don't do simple stuff. Just do a save onto the storage device. It will let me create Word documents on there with pseudo Word, but it won't let me create Excel. So it's something to do with the fact that I have looked at it on the tablet. Have I set the permissions on the chip somehow?
It's hard to be sure of what's happening here, Keith, but it may be, for example, that compatible app isn't fully compatible, and that when you open it in that app, that it's subtly changing the file format in such a way that causes an incompatibility. So
I can open file. I can copy a spreadsheet across and open it from the laptop, copy it onto the tablet and read it and open it, fine.
And once you've done that...
It's just a blank one, a new one, that I create on the tablet will not write to this... I think it's the chip that's the problem.
Well, that's always possible. Keith, look, I think this requires a bit more depth than we've got time for. What I would suggest is if you're a Twitter user, you can reach me via Twitter at Gadget Detective.
I'm on Facebook.
Are you on Facebook? Twitter. Well, you can message me via Facebook, or you can go to the GadgetDetective.com website and post there. I can pick it up from there and try and help you with this. But I think, to be honest, once we've tried the basic things, it's going to be a long conversation to try and resolve it beyond
okay,
that.
Okay, not to worry.
Hugh has rung in and said, has Keith formatted his card? Would that be a thing, Keith, maybe?
Sorry?
A listener has rung in and said, have you formatted the card?
Well, I think I must have done, because I've got other files and folders and Word documents on there. It's just Excel it doesn't like for some reason.
Fair enough.
Word and Excel come from the same... They're pseudo suite. It's like a suite of software you can get for nothing. You can download it. So there are other files on there. It's just it won't... And I can edit other Excel files that are already in existence if I copy them across.
Which, Keith, would tend to suggest that it's not the card, but it's the format in
which the
compatible app is writing it. But I'm happy to pick that up off air, as it were. But, I think... beyond the basics, we probably shouldn't delve in too much more detail here.
I thought it was going to be something really simple. I'm almost pleased to hear that I'm not.
Well, yeah, do you know what? Because you often get that, Keith, where someone has done all the obvious stuff and then they ring you up and then it's going to take a little bit more teasing out. We will get there, but it will just take a bit more conversation, I think.
All right. Keith, thank you for your call. And this is a story that we've covered, particularly on BBC Sussex Breakfast over the last few weeks, not least because of that near miss allegedly at Gatwick Airport, and now new rules to bring in drone registration.
Yeah, so the government has announced plans to introduce drone registration and safety awareness courses so that anyone who owns a drone that weighs more than 250 grams, which is only 8 ounces, will need to pass a test now eventually they'll need to pass a test. The government hasn't said when they're going to introduce all this, but the test will make it so that flyers will have to prove that they understand UK safety, security and privacy regulations, because even privacy, I mean, there are privacy implications when people fly drones with high definition cameras strapped to them. And they're also going to extend the geofencing technology, which exists on some drones currently, but not all. So geofencing works so that sophisticated drones have GPS chips inside them, just like a sat-nav. Mm. And they can be programmed so that there are certain places are off limits, like airports. So it should be physically impossible to fly one of those drones into the vicinity of an airport or indeed a prison. Because you know the other problem with drones is that people are using them to smuggle goods into prisons. They're hovering them over the fence and into windows. And a lot of prisons have had to put netting up now to try and prevent the drones from delivering mobile phones, drugs and other contraband into prisons. So it's a big problem. This is one step on the way towards solving the problem, but it's not a complete solution because, of course, you know, people who fly contraband into prisons are already breaking the law. So they're not going to register, and then you know. So there's still this issue that when a drone is in the air, there's actually no way of identifying who's flying it or who is indeed the owner. So what you need is a sort of beacon that's a bit like a number plate on a car that would identify it, and we don't currently have that. And I think, you know, we're at the beginning stages, but the government is, I think what it's saying is sensible, because there have been so many near misses, people flying these devices at thousands of feet, very near misses. And there was a test done recently and they showed that even a moderately sized drone could smash an aircraft windscreen.
Wow.
So it's a problem. But, you know, the people who shine laser lights into the eyes of pilots when they're trying to land, they're breaking the law as well. And, you know, making it illegal in and of itself doesn't take care of the problem. So what will be interesting, I guess, Mark, is to see how they're going to enforce this as well.
Absolutely. All right. If you want to get involved in the show this afternoon, usual reminder of those ways to do so, including by text 81333, starting your message with the word radio. A bit of breaking news just in. Charlie Gard's parents say they've ended a legal fight over treatment for the terminally ill baby. That's just in within the last few moments. We'll bring you more on that story when we get it. Right now, we can go to the phones once again. Rosie in Box Hill, on Box Hill, I guess. Rosie, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Now, it says here on my screen, you need a new PVR, and you reckon I'll know what a PVR is. I've got absolutely no idea. Personal video recorder?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh,
well,
okay.
Done.
Well, there we are.
She put a bet on with me. She thought you wouldn't know.
Well, there you are. See, how well you know me, but clearly not the producer. Now, come on, Rosie, what can we do to help here?
Okay, so unfortunately, you're probably picking up the dog, which has just decided to start barking. I'm on my fourth PVR with a very well-known make. Other makes don't seem to do PVRs as such, but each one has failed, and the help desk says, oh, just reformat the disc. And my answer is, well, I've got 300 hours of television recording on this. Am I going to lose that? And so on and so forth. So I need to find an alternative, but that works the same way as the standard PVR, if that's possible.
Mm. Okay. Rosie, I'm going to ask you the question because I'm curious. What brand are you having problems with?
Humax.
Okay. So Humax are generally, I mean, had you not said Humax, I was going to recommend it to you because of the sort of non-Sky PVRs, they've probably got the best reputation. Is that a standalone PVR, or is it attached to a box? Does it have a box that's got FreeSat in it as well, or FreeView?
It's not FreeSat. It's a standard, normal landline television, and digital, clearly, but we don't get HDR here. Okay. No reception.
And your television set, does it have the ability to record if you attach a USB device to it?
No.
It doesn't have that capability. Okay. Well, I mean, look, frankly, there are other brands, but I'm reticent to recommend them because I think you've probably... You said you've had a number of problems. Is it with the same model in each case?
Virtually the same model, just a couple were one step up.
Yes.
So they've got various new models now, which are really for people who have got satellite and other things.
What's happening? Is it that the recordings are being corrupted and you can't play them back? Is that essentially what's happening?
Yes, and other things that the programming fails to work. I mean, the whole thing just falls apart, really. And so I understand about reformatting discs, but
yeah, well, obviously you don't want to do that, do you?
Not really. I've done it four, five, or six times now. I'm on my fourth Humax machine.
Yeah,
gosh. And I mean, the answer may be completely justified, which is, well, hard disks don't last forever. But
no, that's not. But how old is the machine?
This one's about 3 years now.
Yeah, I mean, still, I mean, it's true to say. I mean, are you plugging and unplugging it at night?
No, I leave it on standby update overnight.
So you're not doing anything that might cause sort of spikes and damage and so forth. I think, look, I mean, I've used a lot of these devices myself from that brand, and I just, you know, in fairness to them, I would say that I think that they're probably the best of the bunch, and that's why I'm sort of a bit hesitant. What I can do for you, Rosie, is if you're willing to sort of send my details through the producer, I can take this up for you, because you shouldn't be having this experience. They should sort it for you. And yes, it might mean another machine, which means you don't carry your recordings, but you know, if the machine's even if it's 3 years old, it should last that period of time. And I'd be more interested in doing that, because the advantage of the Humax machines is that they have the modern ones have a very good electronic program guide on it, which their competitors lack. And for that reason, I would be reticent to sort of try and push you down another route, because the vast majority of users don't have this problem, of Humax users, I mean. So I think it's better to try and get this fixed. If you're willing,
certainly.
If you leave your email address or a number with the switchboard here, and I'll do my best to pick it up and push it in their direction, because now we've spoken about it on air, I think we'll have their attention.
Is that okay for you, Rosie?
That's excellent. Thank you very much. I'll hold on.
No worries. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you for your call, and good luck. Let us know how you get on with that. And that is a pain, isn't it? So we, when our box that we record with, albeit its link through, or was at the time of BT, I think it was, we wanted to say we had a new box coming our way, and you literally lose all those things you've had, which most of them, 99%, you can get rid of quite happily.
Yeah.
But we'd done for one of our children, we had the where they read out the birthday card on the TV.
Yeah.
And so we found ourselves rather bizarrely using my phone to video onto my phone that tiny bit where my son or daughter got a mention. I can't remember which one of them it was, but yeah, because in the good old days of a VHS, you always had your VHS to keep with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting, because people are recording fewer things at home now. I mean, we went from, you know, VHS, or indeed Betamax and Video 2000, for those who are old enough to remember that. We went to disc-based recording systems, and then hard disk-based recording systems. But nowadays, more people are streaming content, because you've got, you know, obviously things like iPlayer and its equivalents on other channels, which mean that you know, a lot of this stuff is accessible. You could go the Sky route as well, you know, obviously Sky is, but that's a proprietary PVR, and Sky are very good at stopping you, for example, backing up those recordings in an easy fashion. There are ways of doing it, but it's not great. Just one little tip I would share for those people who used to have a Sky contract but no longer have one for any reason, but their satellite dish is still up.
Mm-hmm.
That dish is pointing at the right satellite for the FreeSat service, which is similar to FreeView but better. And therefore, if people want to go back to having the capability of recording, you know, publicly available TV yes. programs, then they can get a box and attach it to the existing Sky dish.
That's a really good idea. Ted in Yapton with a quick call on this. Hi, Ted.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, I've had the same trouble once with the Humax.
Yeah.
I got rid of it, bought another one, and the same trouble happened again, as the lady says.
Yeah.
So I phoned up the people I bought it from,
yep.
thinking it's a common problem. They said, oh, we don't know nothing about it. So anyway, I was going to touch with Humax. No problem. They sent me all the details on email. What the lady does, if it's the same as me, she pulls out the plug at the back, count a few seconds, put it back in again, and on the front there's a button for the volume. Hold the button down for about 5 to 10 seconds, and the factory reset yeah. will come up.
So it does a reset. But
yeah.
the fact
and
is that shouldn't be happening in the first place. I mean,
exactly, no. Like the, but as I say, when you go on to, you know, other channels, it tells you this is quite common. And
yeah.
the people that I phoned up said, oh, no, don't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Of course they will.
Well,
they want to sell.
I have to tell you, Ted, I've got two Humax boxes
yeah.
at home, and they both work well, and that's
yeah.
why I was minded to recommend it, because it's based on actual
yeah,
experience.
But, me, yeah.
but, you know, every machine can have problems. And yeah. that, I mean, it sounds like that's, to me, it sounds
yeah,
more of a software issue.
Because what was happening on mine, it kept on freezing. It's saying loading, 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 or whatever.
Yeah.
Ted, thank you for that. Thank you. Let's see if that makes any difference to Rosie, who's been listening to your advice, actually.